Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Hello and welcome to the broadcast. As the seasons change, some things remain the same. Thankfully, one of those things is that God is unchanging. Not only is God unchanging, but the character of God that changes not is a character of absolute holiness and perfection. And for this, we're very thankful that God is unchanging. There is something else that doesn't change, and that is that the human heart is continually changeable. Human nature, sadly, doesn't seem to change, at least without help from God. And part of human nature is that our own heart is tricky, can be duplicitous. We often lack singleness of heart. Jesus praised singleness of heart, and God has singleness of heart. But by contrast, the Bible condemns being double-minded. And this duplicity or lack of single-mindedness of heart leads us to the fact that there is an abundance of the heart or a majority view and a minority view that can be hidden away. Join us for some preaching and teaching from our sanctuary on the abundance of the heart. Let's roll the tape.
I'd like to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And I want to read there as a launching point a single verse of Scripture, Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the word of the Lord says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And my topic tonight is the abundance of the heart. Let's seek the face of the Lord for his touch here tonight. God bless you, and as our friend Brother Lee Stone King would sometimes say, go down clapping, amen. Let's give the Lord a great hand praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. From my childhood, hearing Brother Tenney minister in the Louisiana District Camp Meeting, I have a memory of him reading the scripture in Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, God speaking to Moses, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And the Lord said furthermore to him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was cleansed from the leprosy. And Brother T.F. Tenney said, that was God showing Moses that whatever is in your heart will soon be in your hand. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus said in verses 21 and 22, ye have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Jesus was letting us know that anger in the heart can become murder in the hand. Amen. The abundance of the heart. This concept of the heart gets to what is the real you. It has to do with your mind and your thinking. Not just what you hope to be or would like to be or wish you could be, but what you really are. The inner monologue, what you really treasure. Did you notice the word treasure repeated in verse 45 of Luke chapter 6? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart. Down deep in your heart, what really matters to you? What do you really care about? What are you preoccupied with? That is really who you are. And so the Lord talks to us about the fact that all of the worst sins that a person can do before that sin is ever in their hand. It started off as a problem in their heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 through 20 says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." I want to tell you, it's good to wash your hands before you eat, but that has nothing to do with spirituality or righteousness. That just has to do with bacteria and not getting sick as a dog. Amen. And the Jews sometimes got that a little confused. They made it almost a religious, rite with religious significance of righteousness, and the Lord contradicted them on that. So I want to tell you that what's in your heart will soon be in your mouth. And what's in your heart will soon be in your hand. So I want to ask you tonight, what is in your heart? And in answer to that, I want to draw some attention to what's already in your mouth. Because what's already in your mouth testifies about what is in your heart. Amen. If your heart is filled with discord, then your mouth will be filled with gossip. If your heart is filled with bitterness, then your mouth will be filled with all manner of defilement. If your heart is filled with ingratitude, your mouth will be filled with murmuring and complaining. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. But guess what? If your heart is filled with admiration for God, then your mouth will be filled with praise. If your heart is filled with gratitude, then your mouth will be filled with thanksgiving. If your heart is filled with the Spirit of God, then your mouth will be filled with speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And the Scripture lets us know that when we do that, we're speaking the wonders of God and giving Him glory. I want to tell you, if your heart is filled with mercy, then your mouth will be filled with tolerance and understanding and acceptance. If your heart is filled with grace, then your mouth will be filled with forgiveness. The Bible says this with regard to a man getting control of his spirit and getting control of his tongue. Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." In the New Testament in James, you can read, it's a powerful passage from the beginning of the third chapter all the way through about verse 18. I'll just cherry pick a couple of verses. James 3:2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." I want to ask you tonight, why does the Scripture say that if you could control your tongue, you would be a perfect man? It's because to control your tongue, you've got to control your heart. You've got to discipline your spirit, and that's where we fail. Why is it so hard? It's because we cannot fix our own heart. Amen. But I bring good news to you tonight. Our God is the great physician, and He makes house calls, and He does heart surgery, and He will do a heart transplant for you, and He will give you a new heart. Amen. I want to tell you that the heart is tricky. Your heart is deceptive. Your heart will fool you. Your heart will wrap your vanity up and serve it up and tell you that it's righteousness. Your heart will trick you. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked above all things. And who can know it? You can't even know your own heart. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you've never let Him give you a heart transplant, you need a heart transplant tonight. And chances are, even if you did let Him give you a heart transplant, you need to come back for a checkup from the neck up and let Him renew you in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I rejoice when someone speaks with tongues. But if after you finish speaking with tongues, you go out there and your life is not changed, your speaking with tongues did you absolutely no good. Amen. The old timers used to say, you shout and dance, but when you land, they would say, you need to walk right and spit white. You know, tobacco is such a carcinogen that it will cause cancer anywhere in your body that you put it. If you burn it and you inhale the smoke that comes up from it, every part of your body that that smoke touches is susceptible to a vastly increased risk of cancer. But even more than that, once it gets into your lungs and passes into your bloodstream, it circulates all through your body. You can get cancer practically anywhere. Tobacco is such a carcinogen that if you just strap it onto your arm, it will cause skin cancer on your arm. And yes, if you put just a pinch between the cheek and gum, you will likely get cancer in your cheek and in your gum. Do you realize that 70 years before the Surgeon General said, I see such an overwhelming preponderance of medical scientific evidence for its carcinogenic properties that I've got to warn the whole country that tobacco causes cancer. The law, the government began to force these tobacco companies to put labels and warnings on all their products. Years and decades before that, folks, do you realize that before that time, there were advertisements in magazines that said, 4 out of 5 doctors recommend smoking this menthol brand here. America was deceived. America thought that the cigarette was healthy. And long before the medical evidence came out, the Holy Ghost spoke to the old timers. And they felt a conviction down in their heart, this is wrong. And before the world agreed with them, and when they were laughed at and mocked over it, they said, I've got a choice. I can either listen to the world or I can listen to the Spirit of God. This is what the Bible says. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You can talk in tongues till you're blue in the face, but when you go out that door, if you don't be led by the Spirit, your tongue-talking experience didn't do you any good. Amen. I want to tell you, if you have a nagging sense of doubt, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you have a nagging sense of doubt about something that you're doing, you better do the safe thing and put that down and put it away and not take it up again. You better follow the leading of the Spirit. Last night after the Fresh Oil Conference was over, we fellowshipped. And I laughed so hard. I laughed till I about passed out. Bishop Greg Hurley is so funny. And he got so many funny stories to tell. But one of them he told, he got to telling some, he's got an awesome son. His son Grant probably needs to have his picture in the dictionary beside the word awesome. But I'm going to tell you what, he is all boy. He's all boy and a double dose of boy. He's like testosterone to the power of 10. He had a loose tooth, and he asked his dad. He said, how are we going to pull this tooth out? And his dad said, well, we can tie some dental floss around it and then tie it to a doorknob and close the door. And he said, nah. He said, I want to tie the dental floss to an arrow and shoot it from my bow. So his dad got his phone and turned it in video mode and turned his video camera on and said, here he is. And you can see him. He got the dental floss tied around the tooth, and it's over here to the arrow. And he's like, ready, yep. Oh, and it's gone. I'll tell you what, that boy is something else. His dad normally wears a very reserved suit. And he said, his dad told me, he said he's got one suit that's a little bit more bold in its pattern. And so he doesn't usually wear suits like that, but it's a nice suit, so he wore it. And he said, right in front of a bunch of people at church, his little son Grant came up to him and said, Dad, that's the stupidest looking suit I ever seen. Well, the Bible say something about controlling your tongue? I don't know. One of the things I laughed at was the hardest was And you know, we can laugh at it because he's a little child and he's all boy. But Brother Hurley said the night, he said, Brother Hurley was in Israel actually with me at the time. And he got the word that in the altar, God had filled his son Grant with the Holy Ghost. And he showed me a picture. He said, "This is a picture of my boy getting the Holy Ghost." And you can see that precious son, Grant. He's weeping and his hands are lifted to God. But what's so amazing is he received the Holy Ghost and went out in the hallway and punched the boy in the nose. It can happen. It can happen. I've seen people, and he'll get past that. In Jesus' name. But I've seen some people never get past it. They treat the front door of the church like a revolving door at a hotel. They come in, repent, get the Holy Ghost, get baptized, and back out they go. No change in their life. And you have to wonder, was that repentance real? And if it wasn't real, then why did God give them the Holy Ghost? And it all boils down to this. You've got to understand, Sister Murphy made reference to it. She said, we'd be foolish to think the enemy's not going to come and try to trick us. You hear me, Brother Ralph. You hear me, new convert. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you count on it. You're going to walk out that door. There's going to come an enemy. There's going to come a tempter. There's going to come an adversary. He's going to tell you that it wasn't real. He's going to bring that temptation. He's going to bring that addiction. God bless you. I heard your testimony that you quit smoking. Don't you pick that back up. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Amen. You ladies, if you feel a little nagging sense of doubt that blouse is too low cut or that skirt's too short or this is too tight or this is too see-through, follow the leading of the Spirit. Don't require an authoritarian policeman of a pastor. Follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. God will speak to you. Amen. He's the great physician. He'll come and change your heart. And God have mercy on the soul that treats that new heart without regard and drags it through the mud and through the trash. The Bible describes a backslider in this fashion. It's like a dog that is turned again to eat its own vomit. But I want to tell you, the Scripture prophesies about the new heart. Ezekiel 11:19. He said, and I will give them one heart. If you look that up in the New International Version, it said, I will give them singleness of heart. Anybody remember Jesus saying something about singleness of heart, singleness of vision, singleness of the eye? He said, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. In the New International Version, it says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Let me read you Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I want to ask you, who is that promise to? Now you read the Bible and you say, hey, that's God's promise to me. Read it real close. That was his promise to the Jewish people in the millennial kingdom age. Oh, but wait a minute. My Bible school teachers told me that they can show, and through study they've proved, that every promise that God gave to the Jewish people for the millennial kingdom age, the church can have an advanced fulfillment of that prophecy in this age. The old timers used to say, every promise in the book is mine. Oh, I want to tell you, you need to read that. And even though the initial audience, the initial fulfillment is the Jewish people in the millennial kingdom age, you need to say, thank God, through his mercy, he'll flip-flop time of dispensations, and he will give me an advanced fulfillment of that prophecy now. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to make up your mind. I am not going to walk out that door until I've let him give me a new heart. There's another verse about it, another prophecy of it in Jeremiah 31. Verses 31 through 34. Behold, The days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And you can study what those days refers to. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Iniquity is what's in the heart. Sin is what's in the hand. And he said, whether it's iniquity in the heart or sin in the hand, I'm going to forgive it and I'm going to remember it no more. I tell you, in the Holy Ghost, those of you here, you're so tormented by your sins of the past. You are so gripped. You're so taunted. You're so intimidated by the mistakes you've made in the past. I want to tell you that once that's under the blood, you need to somehow find some way to let God heal you of it and get past that. Because if you try to talk to him about the past, you're talking to him about something that he has said, I've chosen not to rehearse that. I've chosen not to remember that. I've chosen to leave that buried and forgotten. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you, and you may not understand the power of what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you, this is one of the most important things for you to get. You need to realize that when God buries something, you need to leave it buried. The New Testament says it this way: love keeps no record of wrong. I'm talking about how you think. The Scripture tells us that there can be deception. Someone with an upper layer of consciousness can coerce their tongue into saying something that's different than what's in the heart. It doesn't discount the verse that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's just getting to the root of human nature. And this is what it says. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, listen to the rest of this verse. It says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The concept is that you're a guest in this man's house, and he's got a food store that he was counting on lasting for the rest of the month. And you're eating in just a few days what he meant to last for a long time. And he comes out to the table and he says, oh yes, you're my guest. Eat and drink. But in his heart he's thinking, this guy's a jerk. And the meaning of it is that facade you put on, oh yes, eat and drink, that facade is not the real you. What's the real you is what you're thinking in your heart. I want to tell you, the answer to fixing what is broken in my heart is not years on a psychiatrist's couch and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm not against Christian counselors, and I'm not against psychiatrists that use a Bible-based Christian counseling. They've been able to help people. But it's because of the power of the Scriptures infused into their counseling. The answer to what's broken inside your heart is not to take stuff that's supposed to be buried under the blood and keep dredging it up for somebody to hear you recounting it on a couch somewhere. And it seems much of modern psychoanalysts are wrapped up in this thought that, well, somebody dropped you when you were a baby, or your mom didn't treat you right or something, and we're going to play a blame game. I want to tell you, there are things that can be broken in you because bad people did bad things to you. I totally get that. I've been a victim of that much. And in some way, all of us are in need of being fixed, being repaired. May I humbly submit to you that people can hurt you and people can help you, but they can't really fix you. And you can hurt yourself and you can help yourself, but you can't really fix yourself. But I hold up to you tonight a Savior and a Redeemer who can fix what's broken in your heart. If you'll come and lay yourself on the altar, which is his operating table, and let him do a surgery, he will take out the old heart and he will put in a new heart, and it will change your thinking. This is what the Apostle Paul says once that transformation has taken place. 2 Corinthians 10, starting with verse 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Anybody want to guess where the strongholds are? It's not a building. Oh, I know you may think the stronghold is a building where the liquor is stored, a building where the pornography is stored, a building where the crack and other drugs are stored, or a building where the prostitution is stored. That's not really the stronghold. That's the sin in the hand. It's not really getting to the heart. Here's where the strongholds are. He says, pulling down of strongholds. Watch this, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where do you have imaginations? Where do you have knowledge? Where do you have thoughts? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If Brother Billy Cole were here tonight, he would say, the battleground is right between your ears. I need him. The songwriter said, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I want to tell you, I'm thankful for every bit of worship that goes up in your private closet. I'm thankful for every bit of worship and praise that goes up here as we're gathered as a congregation in corporate worship. But I tell you, there is a need for us to be in intimate relationship with the Lord in every moment of every day. Where another songwriter said this way, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I want to ask you to stand. I don't often say this, but if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm looking at a room of hurting people. Some less than others. But it's a room full of people. There are some here tonight that have been verbally and emotionally abused. Some that have been sexually abused. There's been some that has had vicious intimidation and vicious bouts of humiliation that has been unleashed on you. And all the evidence indicates the damage from that to your psyche is powerful and can last a lifetime. I come to tell you in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Ghost, it does not have to last a lifetime, because God can heal you of it right here, right now, tonight. Amen. He wants to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and he's the only one who can. I want to ask you, just find a place to pray and lay yourself on an altar that's an operating room table, and let the Lord do a process in your mind, in your thinking, in your heart. Let him fix you. Let him put you back together again in a way that only he can.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.